and welcome back to Watch Talk Across the Pond. I am Bill with Not a Watch Snob, and we have Dean with One to Watch.
Hi.
And Peter Mustang with Peter Mustang Channel. How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, really good.
Doing all right.
How are you?
What is on the wrist today? We're going to have a wrist check before we start the questions. Ooh. I am wearing my Rolex Datejust from the 70s. Let's get this closer to the two-tone with the Jubilee bracelet.
Lovely. Very nice. I think
very
you
nice.
Did a video on this a few weeks ago, which I
diamond
really
markers. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. How about you, Dean? What are you wearing, buddy?
So I've got my Boulder. Oh, let's get it in the light. I've got my Boulder Venture. That's the carbon black version, which is one of my favorite watches. The case is titanium, and so is the bracelet. So it's extremely light, 38 millimeters diameter, really, really light. Great watch. It's got a Seiko and H35 movement, and it runs within 1 or 2 seconds a day. So
just
don't have to change the time on it. It's really light. Put it on. I usually keep it on my wrist for a week or two at a time. Really, really good. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I got my Gakota G01 on today.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Gorgeous dial.
Nice color.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. With wow, that's a beautiful
red dial. Really pretty watch. And with, well, I won't spoil, but within the price range of today.
Oh, wow. So our episode today is going to be affordable watches under 700 pounds. I mean, under 500 pounds or $700.
Cool. Yeah. So first question, guys, why would somebody buy a watch for under 500 pound or under $700? What sort of circumstances would lead somebody to buy a watch? Peter, go on, you lead the way.
Well, the thing, one of the big things is that, especially if you're in some, if you don't have as much money in the first place, buying a more expensive watch, you're quite likely to be almost scared to wear it, if you know what I mean. And so that's one of the nice things about it. Also, a lot of times at those, I've noticed a lot of the cheaper watches, especially with the more well-known movements, tend to be also quite rugged as well. And so, plus there's a lot to be had under that price point, especially in the micro brand market.
Definitely. Yeah, I think micro brand and the Seiko market has definitely got a lot in that price range. Definitely. And a lot of the movements are Seiko movements as well, interestingly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bill, what's your take? What's the reason for buying a watch that price? Who would buy one that price?
So I think anything over $500 in my mind is luxury. I think, you know, it's a good piece. It's going to be a quality movement, such as you can get a Swiss movement for, under $700. You can get, a really quality watch within that price range. And I think that if you're just getting into watches and you want to splurge a little bit, it's not like it's going to break the bank by any means. It's like that perfect price range where you can get a really quality timepiece that's going to be on your wrist for forever. And it's going to make you happy versus just, Kevin O'Leary once said that, why would you go out and buy $189 watches when you can save that money and buy one really nice watch? And I think, $700 can get you a really nice watch. So,
yeah, no, very, very true. But remember, it is only priced from pretty much £5 to 500 or whatever that is in dollars to 700. So it could include cheaper watches. Just want to do a quick shout out as well, if I may, because I think one of the things that made me think about this episode was to spend a bit of time on Facebook recently with a Facebook group called Affordable Watches, Divers and Others, which in brackets has got AWDO. And in their rules, they sort of look at watches from £5 to £500. And it's just, lots of people posting lots of messages all the time. Just made me realize, what a big market that is and how many people are out there. So I think, as you two say, you can still get good value for that price. It's good for people, new to the hobby. You don't have to be scared. If you want a beta watch, as people call them, you just want to watch for work, especially if you've got something like a manual job. It's a good starting point. Definitely, you can get a lot for your money, and you don't need to go out and spend that much money to get the enjoyment and the buzz out of this hobby. Definitely, yeah. So, if you were going to spend, for you two, I suppose, working dollars, it's two Americans. If you were going to spend get a watch for under $500, maybe just under $700, what would you hope to get for your money? As in things like movement, glass, case, finish, you know, etc. What would be your hopes for that? Bill, you start us.
So I would definitely want, I think that Swiss movements are top of the line. I love Swiss movements, and I think that they have so much character and so much beauty to them. They're usually decorated, usually could be an open case back sometimes. And I just think, you know, that quality is always there. So I'm always looking for a Swiss movement, automatic. I think automatic has so much more soul than quartz in my mind. Yeah. And I just think the quality of materials is there. You know, you can get some really good quality, you know, the 316L stainless steel. You can get the, you know, different materials, different looks, different styles for that price range. So that's what I would be looking for, yeah. Specifically a main good movement that's going to last long.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is I totally agree with you about automatic, but I would sort of go potentially think that you can get a good chronograph watch. Quartz chronograph watch, like a Mecha Quartz or such like. And I think, what was the one you had? You had a Zenith Grand Rally?
I had a Zodiac Grand Rally.
Zodiac Grand Rally.
Yeah, and that was really great.
Yeah. Did you sell that?
I have sold it, and I'm kind of regretting it, but the attention to detail was there. I paid $200 used, and it had a... you didn't have to get a tool to adjust the watch. It was a tool-less adjustable watch.
Just
pop off the tools. Oh, it was so nice. Pop off the links.
And I think with that on a chronograph, because, you know, if you do, you know, they're very expensive if you go automatic, and it's not just the initial cost. I think it's just the service and everything. And
yeah, but you can get an automatic cheap, like an Oris. I mean, Oris and Orient, you know what I'm saying?
But I think with a chronograph as well, the other thing to remember is, you know, you want the accuracy. The quartz has got the accuracy, and the chronograph has got the timer on it, as well as just telling you the time.
Yeah.
So I think the accuracy of the quartz movement, and to get something under that $700 price, I think that's where. But I think if you're talking about a standard three-hand watch, then yeah, I think automatic. I agree with that one. And you can get
some good complications out there for under $700 that are automatic. You can get a GMT hand. You can get you know day dates. I even saw a chronograph automatic for under, you know, $700, which isn't bad.
Yeah, you do get the odd one too, but you just got to factor in things like servicing costs and things. That's the only thing I would say with that one.
My camera has failed.
Oh, we've lost Peter. You can talk to us while you're fixing it, Peter.
My camera.
Yep. Can hear you.
My camera froze up. So yeah, I was going to mention before I got rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry.
That I meant by the camera.
The camera.
that when it comes for, you mentioned quartz chronographs under $500, and I think the king of that is going to be the Bull of a Lunar Pilot. It's going to be very hard to find a more. You going to work? Yay.
Hey.
We're working again.
We don't see it.
You're not.
There, I'm back.
Oh, he is. Yeah, you're right.
But I just grabbed a. I thought I just.
You keep freezing a little bit.
Grabbed a picture. No, I didn't. I thought I had a picture of Lunar Pilot. But...
I used to have that Lunar Pilot. And I tell you what, it's an amazing watch. I think it actually ticks twice per second or something. It's something a bit different. Like, I think instead of tick, tick, tick. But the chronograph is, because it's a sort of very high frequency quartz movement. It's accurate to something like 10 seconds a year. And the chronograph second hand is a sweep like an automatic.
Oh,
it's an amazing watch. It's got one fault.
It's not a Mecha Quartz.
It's big.
Sort of really, really
high frequency quartz.
Regular quartz.
Wow.
Yeah, it's high frequency quartz. But it's about 45 millimeters diameter, so it does wear quite big.
Mm-hmm. Well, on my list was, speaking of Bulova, was the Acutron Space View for under $700.
Nice. Yeah.
And I just think those are absolutely, I mean, if you want to watch with history, you want to watch that's really cool, really funky, really out there. It's a quartz, but it's a different type of quartz, I believe. It's got that tuning fork, which is just absolutely cool. Yeah, the Space View, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Space View doesn't, the Space View, because you cut out for a second, the Space View doesn't actually have any quartz in it.
Right, what is it? It's a tuning fork? What is it?
It's a metal tuning fork, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so cool looking. I mean, you can't go wrong with the look of that watch.
Yeah. I think Boulevard do watches like that, and they get a lot of respect. You know, if you're going to buy a quartz, something like the Lunar Pilot or the one you know, maybe not a quartz, but the one you've just said, I think, you know, that is definitely the company to look for. So, you know, a few tips out there for our listeners, certainly people new to the hobby, Boulevard, and they're certainly available in the shops, you know, just the regular dealers, authorized dealers and watch shops in the UK. And I'm guessing probably quite widely available in America, as an American company anyway.
Yeah,
So, yeah, definitely Boulevard are a good company to look for. Yeah.
I agree.
So any other companies while we're talking to companies, guys? What sort of companies can we look for?
I'm telling you, Orient. I love Orient.
Yeah.
That's been my go-to. Automatics, they have some good automatics. It's like they got some good style. This is the Orient Sea King. And I just think they're like a funkier version of Seiko. I just like their everything
good,
they're doing.
Very good value. In-house movement. You get day dates and things. I just did an episode of videos of diver watches under £250 and £500.
Yep.
And I'd got an Orient in there. And I very stupidly named the winner of the three watches, which I shouldn't have done, I don't think. And after being on the, what's the group called? Affordable Watches, Divers and Others group, you know, that was the watch that everyone said should have won. You know, it was definitely the Orient. And now I just so regret not making the Orient the winner. It really was the best watch for under £250.
That's what I'm saying.
You can get a couple of Orient diver watches, in-house movement, lovely finish on the case, day-date, the lot, absolute fantastic value.
Great watches. The only problem is the bands. The buckle on that watch was not my favorite. It was very cheaply made. Other than that, you can get another strap. You throw it on there, and it
just put a snob strap on. Yeah,
of course,
NATO snob strap. A little shout out there for the snob straps. Which, not a watch snob. Every Friday
every Sunday I give out a free watch NATO straps to some lucky viewers. Playing some games, playing
choice
some
the color. They can choose the colors and things.
The colors, and it's absolutely free of charge. I send it to your house.
Your YouTube channel on a Sunday. Unfortunately for me, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning because of the time difference. I tend to watch it about a day or two later. And I still enjoy watching it afterwards because I can have a go at the questions and things and not embarrass myself trying to actually compete because I don't know most of them.
Yeah. No, I ask some hard questions sometimes. It's just for fun, though. You know, you got to have fun, right?
I enjoy it.
And I have a huge giveaway going on right now. $1,000 mystery box full of four watches, a watch winder, all this goodies.
23rd of May? Was it 23rd of May you're going to announce?
The 23rd is when the drawing is going to be closed.
See, I'm proving I watched that a couple of hours ago. I'm proving it. You know,
that's
it because you commented on it.
That's my boy.
You know I watched it. Yeah. And I watched the other one. I commented on a couple of videos today, didn't you?
Yeah, the DeVille. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Cool.
Well, all right, Peter, what do you have showing for us, Peter? Sorry.
Oh, no, then. What's this, Peter?
I have, this is from a brand that I've brought up before. This is from the Russian brand Polyat. Mm-hmm. Who I think has actually is probably the best mechanical chronographs for under $1,000. This one is currently for sale on eBay. They got several of them there for $500
a
piece, hand wind with a chronograph. But then there's the Polyat 3133 movement, which they put a whole bunch of chronographs. It's basically the same functionality wise as the Seagulls, but it includes a date.
Oh, wow.
And so I personally think that they're better, and they're actually better made than the Seagulls.
What's the sort of cost? What's the cost of them, Peter? What's the sort of cost?
Usually around $400-$500. This one's over $500 because it's got the moon phase on it.
Yeah,
but it still keeps us under the 700 mark.
I had a Poljot.
This one may very well be one of my next gets.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen those.
Yeah, the Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, this one may be my next get. I might also see if I can find a picture of it. Get their Blue Angels one.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, let me see that.
Because Poljot has a Blue Angels. Poljot has a Blue Angels chronograph. It looks actually ever so slightly. It looks ever so slightly Breitling-ish. The Blue Angels one.
That's not a bad thing. Me and Bill are big Breitling fans.
Yeah, we are. I just sold mine. Look at that. That is a Breitling feel. Nice. Yeah,
that's the pull.
Navi timer.
That's the Poljot Blue Angels.
It's a real tool watch. That's nice. While we're talking of Breitlings, I actually walked past the authorized dealer in Nottingham.
Blue Dial chronographs are something I'm a big fan of.
I walked past the authorized dealer, Breitling authorized dealer in Nottingham a few days ago, and every watch in their window, they've got 25% discount on. And
wow.
I actually tried one of the watches in the window I really like. It's the Colt. Uh-huh. I think it's 42 millimeters, but it's a slightly older version, which hasn't just got the markers on. I think it's actually got numbers on and things. It's a slightly older version, which I do like. And I'm very tempted to go and have a look at that next Thursday when I'm up in that area.
Bring the credit card. Come on, Dean.
No, scary. Scary stuff. I might have to go from a affordable watches, which all my watches fit into the affordable watch category to spending some silly money. We'll see.
Be silly. Come on. It's COVID. You got to treat yourself. We all survived.
Yeah. We should all reward ourselves for surviving COVID. So, excellent.
And another watch guy I knew, one of the watch guys I know actually used that exact excuse.
Wow.
I know a guy, a watch collector, who he had been planning to take a trip to Hawaii before COVID hit. And so he took the money he had saved up for his Hawaii trip and bought himself an Explorer 2.
His kids must have been real happy.
I say, now Daddy. We can't go to Hawaii for the next 5 years or something. Yeah. So,
yeah, wow. I wanted to go to the beach, Daddy.
Wow. Well, I'm going to just obviously throw in the mix. I'll probably demonstrate it with my watches. Obviously, I'm wearing this this Boulder watch, but I've also got it in white dial. And I've also got another one that's got orange and blue marks, but Caroline's pinched it off me.
She stole that?
she's wearing that nonstop. She loves it. It's not been off her wrist for about since I've almost had it.
That is so cool.
The Expedition is £434.
Oh, wow.
The watch is £217 and the bracelet is £79 for a titanium bracelet, which comes to £296. And it's automatically got the NHS 35 movement in. And then the other one, you can still get Seiko's, good value. The Samurai. The prices have gone down, actually, on the Turtles and Samurai. You can pick these up for under £300 now. I paid just over £300 for this, and it was, I think at the time, I got a good price on it because it was over £400. It was about £400. But they've come down because I think there's a lot. They bought a lot of new sort of quality 140th anniversary watches out, this, that, and the other. And a lot of Seiko fanboys have moved up in price, and
they moved up to the next tier, you mean? Yeah, right? Yeah, they went to the next tier.
It's left that bit of a gap. And I know the lower prices for Seiko is the new Seiko 5 Sports, which I know Peter commented the other week isn't a true diver because it's not got screwed down crowns, 100 meters, but it has got hacking and winding, and that's £250. You only need to go another £30 or £40 to get the Turtle or the Samurai, which, in my opinion, is a much better watch. It's got divers on it. It's proper ISO certified and everything. So I would, you know, I would definitely recommend that.
The Samurai over the Turtle, I think. I love the.
I like the Samurai. It's, you know, it's a more modern case. But if you want slightly more retro and maybe a little bit slimmer, smaller looking watch, then the Turtle's really good. So I'd definitely go with them.
The Samurai is an interesting watch for me, styling wise, because I like it from every you're good. From in straight on. For some reason, it just looks a little dull to me. But in every other angle, I think it's an amazing looking watch.
It is, yeah. It's really modern. It is a little bit big for some people. I mean, my wrist is 7.25, and I think I'm okay with that. But I wouldn't want to wear it if my wrist was any smaller. But I do like to wear my watches fairly small, having said that. So I think most people would be happy with like a 7-inch wrist. You'd be okay. Probably 6.75 might be okay. But definitely,
well, big's in now. That's the style. Big watches are like, you know.
You think they're back in
my generation?
I thought they were getting smaller. I thought
Well, I think my generation, you know, the newest generation, the bigger, the bougier, the better. You know, it's kind of
It's probably a bit of the you know, big is better, but you know, it looks more expensive the bigger it is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
my generation have gone, went through that stage, and now they realize it's not true. Your generation will get there eventually. You know, to
we'll learn. You disagree?
I think that in some ways it's already starting to hit its peak because there's also this sense of if you're wearing this massive, expensive looking watch, you're also kind of being a bit of a fake.
Compensating.
And that's not very well liked.
Yeah.
I think that's also true with the two-tone, the silver and gold, which is a shame actually, because there's some lovely, I was looking at today, I was looking at a Certina DS Action Diver. Mm-hmm. They've actually bought it out in, it's funny, I don't know if you know much about the Certina DS Action, but they bought out a 38mm one in the beginning of this year. I think it was months ago, in the beginning of this year, pretty much. They've got the 38mm version because the other one's 43. But the 38mm versions, they're a bit toned down, where the 43 ones have got all like a red second hand and text or, you know, whatever. That's not true for the 38mm version. But on the 38mm version, you can buy one that's got a black dial, it's got a green, dark green bezel, and it's got a two-tone gold and silver bracelet. And I think it's got gold around the edges of the bezel and on the crown. It's absolutely stunning. I just wish you'd bring it out at 43mm because I'm pretty sure I'd get one. It is absolutely stunning. You know, it's just a shame that they don't do it size. So, yeah, there's another example of two-tone, and it's a shame because, you know, I think
this is what I was looking at.
People associate it as, you know, a bit fake and blingy and things, but there's some really nice ones. I mean, like the new Rolex Explorer, which has actually divided a lot of people. But I personally think it looks quite nice.
I love two-tone. I think two-tone is perfect because it's like it matches your outfit if you want to dress it up or if you want to dress it down.
Yeah, I think it's coming back.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons for why rose gold has gotten so popular, because that doesn't quite have the same stigma.
Like, yeah,
I actually don't think
it's
two-tone is blingy at all. I think actually it's full gold that I find blingy. Two-tone I actually quite like. Like, I remember I was looking at these glycines quite hard. These also fit into the price range of today, because these are like $300, $300 on Joma Shop. And I mean, automatic with a moon phase, two tone,
Swiss, right?
Yeah, it's I think it's an ETA in them.
Now, didn't they get bought out by Invicta? Sure. Didn't they get some crap for that?
They did. I haven't seen it affect their model range too much
yet.
No,
it hasn't.
I know that they're.
Is it a glycine? The combat sub, that was another one on affordable watch divers and others group, the under 500 category for divers. Lots and lots of people were saying that combat sub isn't an absolute amazing watch. If you've had one or you've seen them, they're coming absolutely loads of colors, different style, you know, sort of. You know, dial was looking a bit different, but everyone was just saying how wonderful that. I mean, a lot of people were, because again, I didn't make that the winner of the category. I wish I didn't pick a winner of the category. And everyone was saying, you know, how could you not pick that? I mean, yeah, look at that.
That's gorgeous.
That's under 500, under
$700. This is my personal favorite of the colors.
But it's kind of almost an homage without being an homage. Does that make sense? It kind of looks like what's it called? What do I not like?
It's not a direct copy. Tudor. It's got its own style.
Tudor.
Oh, you don't like Tudor? Yeah, Tudor. But it's also got the snowflake hand. No, I think that's nice. That titanium as well, because it's quite dark grey looking, caissoned.
I don't know. I think that looks
like a titanium version.
No, this is black PVD.
Oh, okay. Ooh. It's got black PVD. I like that. I like black PVD and everything. I think it looks really great. It looked more like gunmetal. It didn't look black though, did it? It looked more gunmetal finish.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But nice. Yeah.
Now we've been talking affordable divers, and I brought this watch up last time. Mm. But I think if you're talking affordable watches, under 250 with like a 200 meter water resistance, you can't go wrong with a K65.
Oh wow.
Okay. Sorry, what make is that?
And these don't have. This is Vostok.
Oh, Vostok. Yeah, another Russian. Yeah.
Stock. Actually, there's two Vostoks I'd like to mention. This is one of them. This is the K65. And it does not have that date window that's so annoying to set on the Amphibias.
Oh.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
You can't set them, can you?
The other Vostok I'm going to bring up. Yeah, the other Vostok I'm going to bring up, which I'm going to need to grab a new picture for, is also a GMT. And allows me, I guess, to, if you would excuse me, to rant a little bit about Vostok's incredibly confusing product line. But Vostok has two different product lines, both called Amphibia. The only difference being how it's spelled. Amphibia with a PH is the one everybody knows. Amphibia with an F is their higher end line.
Okay.
That's fat with a PH.
Usually going from around 200 to be managed to shrink this massive image. I will bring it up on screen. Moving myself there. Come on. It came up with a massively high picture size. There we go. The Amphibia Reef.
Oh, wow.
That looks good.
I like that.
So I think this is a highly underrated model.
What's the cost on that? So this is the more expensive one. What is the cost on that, Peter?
Yeah. This is around $200.
Wow.
The K65 is more around 140.
Blimey. That's very affordable watch, isn't it?
I've been Beautiful. Wanting to grab one of these for a while. Mm. I've actually been thinking one of these might be a good...
Mm. And do you have to buy them from Russia? Do you have to sort of pay for postage and duties and things on that?
Yeah. Not really. I mean, I found a German dealer that I've been ordering my Vostoks from.
Now, speaking of Germany, Laco, under $700, Laco. I love Laco watches. Very nice
pilots. Mainly. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, very nice pilots. The loom on those things are really cool, too.
No, they are good, because a lot of the pilot watches do seem expensive, don't they? So I think Laco is one of the more affordable companies.
Yeah, and it's great movement, great looks, great finish. Yeah, I do like them.
Wow, I think anyone new to this hobby, we've given some really great ideas there, haven't we?
Of course.
We need to promote this to people new to the hobby. These guys? Definitely.
Oh yeah, yes, beautiful. Nice. That's the one I had. Yeah, I loved it.
That's nice. Yeah.
Let's see what else I got on the list. Oh, Tissot. We can't forget Tissot. I had a T-Race Moto PG automatic, which it was from 2018, so it was a couple years old. But I got that for under $500, and it was so cool. The back of it.
Come with the box, the fancy box, the helmet.
Yeah, I got the helmet box right back there. You can't see it, but it came with a helmet as the box.
Tissot.
And the Tissot. And in the back of it had this racing tire look to it. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Like that. Was that the strap? Did the strap look like a tire?
I'm hoping.
The strap was rubber. It was like a rubber tire.
Like a tire. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good there. Nice theme to it.
I'm hoping whenever it gets here.
Oh, beautiful. What is that?
This is one that I've mentioned before. This is one I have on pre-order. It's supposed to arrive in June sometime.
It's like a trench watch.
But if it's as nice. Yeah. This is the Vario 1918. Which comes in like 20 different dials. and case configurations. If it is, this is another one that if it is as good as I have been told it is by the people who've already had them, the Kickstarter backers who got them, then this would definitely be a contender. And it's also extremely unique.
Definitely.
What's the sort of price on that, Peter?
I think it's 300 something.
And that's in books.
Let me look it up.
Dollars, yeah.
Now we can't forget Alpina. Alpina, you can get a good Alpina 4 for under 700 used.
Yep.
Very nice watch. Great quality, great leather straps.
You got yours there to show us, remind us?
No, I sold it. I traded it.
Oh my God, yeah, you sold everything.
I've been selling everything. Just, you know, sometimes I need a spring cleaning.
You've gone lean.
I cut down the collection just to build it back up.
Yeah.
You're breaking.
Trios are $328 USD.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's sweet. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Zelos, another great micro brand.
Oh, yeah.
For under under 700.
Yeah.
I love my Zelos. That was Laurier. A beautiful batil. Mm. What'd you say?
Laurier. Can't forget Laurier for talking about $700.
Oh, I like that brand. Yeah.
Laurier. Yep, definitely.
I think the only thing stopped me getting one of them at a good price is just buying it from America, the import tax, postage and everything. It no longer becomes an affordable watch, if that makes sense.
That means you need a vacation. Come to Boston. Come to Boston. We'll go have a tea party.
Yeah.
And
tea party, of course. Yeah,
of course.
And Philly, you're not how far are you from Philly? Philly?
He's Philadelphia. From Wisconsin.
Oh,
Minnesota. Me?
I'm Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, there we go.
So yeah, I'm not too far away from like
cheese. Not too far away from
Minneapolis,
cheese.
Well, Green Bay.
If I come to America, I'm going to have a list of all the watches that I won because, I mean, Nodus are one of my favorite brands as well. So I could pick up a few Nodus watches. Oh, must get me Nodus out.
We should all three go on a trip to visit a factory, a watch factory in Europe.
My Nodus, Lord, what, hell yeah. Can you remember what I said I paid for this Nodus secondhand? This is the Trieste, the first the Nodus that bought out.
Was it 350?
I paid 140 for it. I mean, funny enough, Christopher Ward, they actually twice a year in January and round about July, they sell quite a lot of all the watches apart from the very latest ones off price, and you can pick up so something like the C60 that normally costs about £800, you will pick up for £400.
Even used, you can get them for under like six.
Yeah, well, yeah, but and you know that secondhand, they're going to be pretty cheap because everyone knows that you can pick them up, you know, twice a year. You have to get in there pretty quick. It's a bit of a frenzy. It's a freedom frenzy. As soon as you know it goes live, every time the Christopher Ward website crashes from so many people trying to get the off price watches and things. But that's definitely another recommendation for people wanting new watches or people new to the hobby is get yourself on the Christopher Ward forum and, you know, certainly be a bit active right about beginning of January and beginning of July, because that traditionally they are the two times where they release a lot of their watches, all apart from the very latest releases, for half price and can pick some real bargains.
Christopher Ward is a brand whose recent releases have been a little bit disappointing to me, at least in the design department. They're still excellent value for money.
A lot of spec for the money, yeah.
But the design, especially this new one, I'm just on their website right now, is a little bit disappointing to me. And I'll grab a picture and you'll see kind of why immediately.
Yeah.
When I put it up, but
I still think the C60, their old C60, and especially the older logos at 12 o'clock on the C60 was definitely, yeah, they're better times. Oh yeah, this is their new one, isn't it? Yeah,
that's just straight up an Explorer 2.
This is straight up
an Explorer 2.
Yeah. So I mean that sort of thing doesn't worry me because every single person I know in real life hasn't got, wouldn't even know what an Explorer 2 was. So it wouldn't bother me in the slightest if I liked the watch. But yeah, I mean, I think the problem with that, it's 39 millimeter diameter with a bezel. It's just going to wear really small. Well, guys, I think we've done well there. We've covered the affordable watch. We give new, you know, people to the collection some ideas, and people looking for bargains some real good ideas. So I think we'll end it there. So thank you very much, Bill of Not a Watch Snob, and our guest Peter Mustang. And yeah, we'll soon be back for episode 7. Cheers, guys.